often they'll hear people like you and I say, well, we shouldn't use distraction as a primary strategy. But I'm distracting. Aren't I distracting? Aren't I supposed to just be completely still and sit and allow my anxiety to consume me if I do anything else? Isn't that distraction?
The biggest rule in my practice is anything but rumination, ABR. And if distraction is one step above that.
I always like to bring it back to the intent. If you're doing it to run away from the panic attack or to blot it out or to put a fire hose on the fire, maybe not so great.
Positive distraction can be reframed as I'm choosing to focus on something else that isn't compulsively checking and scanning myself and ruminating.
Let me just pay attention to something else because I can. You get to pick what you do. Just don't do it with the intent of rescuing yourself or getting away from it or running from it.
Welcome to Disordered. Today's episode title is, But Isn't That Distraction? My name's Joshua Fletcher, also known as Anxiety Josh, and I'm a psychotherapist who specializes in working with anxiety disorders. I'm also a previous sufferer. I'm based in Manchester in the UK.
And I am Drew Linsalata, co-host of Disordered. I'm a graduate student in clinical mental health counseling. I am en route to being a licensed therapist here in the state of New York in the US. And I'm an author and a podcaster on anxiety disorders and also a former sufferer. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I highly recommend it.
Time. Yeah, yeah. 10 out of 10. Would not repeat.
Interesting, though. I don't regret having my anxiety disorders.
No, me either. I would do it all again.
Yeah. Yeah. I changed as a person.
Yep.
Become more empathetic, more compassionate, more emotionally wise.
Oh, yeah.
And it actually kind of took me out of my... The irony is it's such a consuming condition that makes you very selfish and self-centered, but actually going through it turns you into a less selfish person. You get so bored with being consumed with the self that anything outside of you becomes more interesting.
That was a great boom. We're starting off on fire in this episode. It's not about that, but that's a great statement. It's true.
Yeah, I just had a coffee, actually. I think it was that.
That's it.
That was all right. It sometimes come up some all right stuff. And actually ties in nicely to, but isn't that distraction? Well, actually, what's interesting is that anxiety disorders are a distraction. They're a distraction from living your life.
True.
So let's fight one with the other. Distraction. What do we mean by that title, Drew? But isn't that distraction? What's the purpose behind that title?
Well, I think people ask that question. I know you hear it. I hear it. And people get a little nervous because often they'll hear people like you and I say, well, we shouldn't use distraction as a primary strategy here, which is an avoidance strategy that says, I must get away from this. So I will go and do a crossword puzzle or talk to my mom on the phone or something to distract myself to get away from it. I need to get away from it. And so when they wind up like doing things while they're anxious, if they do try to do a crossword puzzle to see if they can do it, but I'm distracting. Aren't I distracting? Aren't I supposed to just be completely still and sit and allow my anxiety to consume me? If I do anything else, isn't that distraction? They get confused. And I understand why. I do.
Yeah, it's great. Distraction gets a bad rep.
I love
distraction.
It actually works. I say it all the time. It works.
I love distraction. I think it's great if it's compulsive. And this will tie in to the episode Attitudinal Shift, the Attitude Shift. And
that's quickly becoming a core episode here. So many things is. All around it.
Yeah. And if you've not heard that episode, go listen to it. Or just listen to the whole thing if you can tolerate our voices. I need to be distracted from these guys.
Yeah.
So, self-righteous, self-aggrandizing pontifications are burning my ears. But this is what I hear a lot. Isn't that distraction? I love distraction. The biggest rule in my practice is anything but rumination, anything but inwards focus, compulsive inwards focus. It's okay to be inwards focus if you want to be reflective and,
That's different.
That's different. But in general, in states of high anxiety, disordered anxiety, anything but rumination, ABR, and if distraction is one step above that.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we could, you almost can't not use distraction. It's almost part of everything we do in a way, to a certain extent. I always like to bring it back to the intent. Like, what's the intent? If you want to go and try to take go for a run while you're having a panic attack, go for it. What is your intention there? Well, I want to run because it's good for me. I want to show myself that I can handle running during a panic attack. If you're doing it to run away from the panic attack or to blot it out or to put a fire hose on the fire, maybe not so great. So it's the intention. That's all. But in the end, you almost can't not distract. If you do anything but sit there quietly and ruminate, you're engaging in some form of distraction.
Yeah. Right? You could, and yeah, just, a lot of people get it. Like, let's explore the origins of that. Because for me, we love distraction. Would we agree? Are we on there? We love distraction. Positive distraction, it can be reframed as I'm choosing to focus on something else that isn't compulsively checking and scanning myself and ruminating.
That paying attention. I'm going to pay attention to something else.
Yeah, I'm going to pay attention.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this comes at odds and comes into conflict with the kind of very body-centric, non-disordered anxiety, mindfulness-based crowd. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I like mindfulness, but you know, when it's very body-centric, that kind of clashes. So there's a lot of people who are like, where do you sense it in the body? Sit with it, stuff like that. I'm not a proponent of the sit with it stuff. I'm like, no, leave it alone.
Yeah.
You know, just don't sit with it. Get on with your day. Why would you sit with something that's annoying? You know, there's a wasp trying to sting me. You know, sit with it. There's a rabid dog trying to chew my foot. Well, just sit with it. No, I'm just going to walk away. I'm not interested in the rabid dog. Yeah. I'm not going to run away. I'm just like, whatever. You know, just I'm not interested in this. I'm going to distract myself. You know, perhaps I'm late at night trying to play the Xbox and I can hear my parents fornicating in the room next door. I'm going to choose to distract myself because what's the benefit of...
Right. But you're right. I mean, we're making a joke, but you're right. What would be the benefit of focusing in on it? What would be the benefit of just focusing in on your panic? So I think that sit with it advice or don't avoid and don't run and don't try to... So what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just sit and feel it? Am I supposed to do something else? Should I just, you know, I understand why it's so confusing. It's okay. But I think some of this is just going to, you're going to
flooded myself with horrendous intrusive thoughts.
It'll just be me for the rest of the episode because Josh has to go lay down now. But I think in the end, intent, paying attention, let me just pay attention to something else because I can. And I think the main thing to remember about distraction is it's never a rescue tool. Just like mindfulness and grounding are not supposed to be rescue tools. Sitting with it is not a rescue tool. Sitting with it isn't always literal. If you happen to be sitting quietly and reading a book and you start to experience high anxiety, then keep sitting and reading your book. That's fine. It doesn't mean you have to jump up and go do something else, or you may choose to do something else. Like you get to pick what you do. Just don't do it with the intent of rescuing yourself or getting away from it or running from it.
Yeah. But isn't that distraction? A lot of people see that as a form of failure. Like that I shouldn't be doing that. I'm distracting myself from the problem. Yeah. You are distracting yourself from something that feels like a problem.
Yeah, but fair enough. And even if it is distraction, what did you learn from it? That's even fine. If you want to say it's distraction or this, I shouldn't do that. Well, what did you learn from it? I learned that if I put my attention on something else, what was super urgent 3 minutes ago is no longer consequential to me. What does that tell you about that urgency? It was nonsense. Right?
And is this why when people are busy or at work or they're consumed by an activity or, you know, when their attention is utterly external.
Yeah.
And not only utterly external, but engaged, people's anxiety is lower.
Yeah.
There's no coincidence in that.
I also think it's a reasonable explanation for why a story I'm guessing you hear too, like you have a very anxious person who's struggling and something happens. Maybe, oh, my son fell off his bicycle. He broke his ankle. We had to take him to the emergency room. Amazingly, I was fine. Yeah, because you were literally focused on your son and the ER and getting the cast and the x-rays. You weren't inside yourself all the time. And then often they'll say like, yeah, but then when I got home, I had a huge panic attack. Yeah, because you went back inside. So that tells you that attention outside of your internal urgency works. And it says something about your internal urgency. So
absolutely.
Yeah. What do we learn from that?
Yeah, we've learned that, when my attention is external, my threat response calms down. Obviously, due to habit and due to fear, and it takes practice because if you've had an anxiety disorder for a while, those neuropathways, they're pretty strong. But what's great is that because our brain is very neuroplastic, we can, change habits and associations with anxiety. And usually the difficulty is when we're sat still and doing things.
Yeah.
You know, when can distraction be bad's the wrong word, a hindering thing?
I'm going to keep repeating the word intent, I think, is part of it. And when sometimes an artificial, but first of all, almost all the distraction is going to be artificial. So if you're in the midst of an anxiety spike or a storm of intrusive thoughts or whatever it happens to be, and you choose to do something else, it's a little bit artificial because at that moment, all you want to do is ruminate on the thoughts and dig into it and protect yourself. But the real artificial distraction is snap a rubber band. They grab your lavender oil and, you know, sniff it really hard like that, whatever it happens to be. I know I joke about lavender oil all the time, but those are really that is not a thing you would normally do in your life. So that says I will distract myself with the pain of a really thick rubber band, but that's not something you would do in your life.
Never do that.
Don't do that. It's
been proven to have the opposite effect.
Right. Well, the ice, you know, I'm going to
ice, the my ice pack crew, man.
Ice pack, a distraction, right? So, no.
So common on social media that you've got literal qualified therapists saying, put ice packs on your hands.
Yeah.
What are you doing, therapy guys? Come on. That's a compulsive safety behavior.
Yeah.
You know, stop teaching people that.
That's a distraction, but I think we could call that an air quotes bad distraction because it's not something you would normally do. A more productive distraction or refocus of attention or paying attention somewhere else would be, what would you like to do in your life right now? I'd like to listen to this song that I like. Give it a shot. Go for it. That's also a real thing.
This just come to me now. There's something to the, it's an immediate forced distraction as opposed to a willing, rational distraction. So like, you know, immediate and forced is, I need to get my ice cubes. I need to dunk my face in water.
Yep.
I need to do my tapping thing straight away. I need to do all these things because it's immediate and it's forced. You're almost forcing yourself to do it because you don't, that distraction's become a thing because you want it to have immediate effects.
Right.
This is an immediate distraction for the want of immediate results. Whereas actually a distraction is, this adrenaline cortisol is triggered, pretty stressed. This is gonna last at least 5 minutes. What can I do whilst it's kicked off? You know, maybe I can semi-engage with a TV show. Maybe I can turn on my computer. Maybe I can play with my son for a little bit.
Yeah. You know,
maybe I can take my daughter to soccer or whatever. But done minus the immediacy, as opposed to, well, I'm feeling anxious. Quick, I better get to the gym and, you know, have an outlet for my adrenaline.
Yeah.
No, that's the wrong type of distraction.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, what are you trying to accomplish in this situation? If I'm going to choose to pay attention to something else or distract, if you want to use that word, which is fine, I'm doing it to show myself that I'm capable of doing that while I feel all these things and think all these things, not to stop feeling and stop thinking. Mm-hmm. If you can make that differentiation, then while instead of to stop, I'm going to take it with me while I distract. Okay, cool. Then go for it. Pick whatever activity you want. And that activity could be laying quietly in bed and just breathing because it's the middle of the night and you had a nocturnal panic attack. Maybe you get up if you want to. Great. Maybe you want to try and lay there and just breathe and focus on your breathing, not to make it go away, just to know that you can. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like there's a difference. If you're walking through the park, that's doing something. And the intention of that is a distraction. But again, back to focus. Where's your focus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's great to distract yourself or channel your focus into, you know, how many different trees can I see? How many types of flowers can I see? You know, what smells can I see? Where does this path lead to? You know, where can I feel the breeze on me? You're almost kind of distracting yourself a little bit there, or that's also being called being mindful.
Sure.
But distracting from the sense of, I don't need to be internal now.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do this, and I found this in our community, is that people judge what they're doing from the outside. Like, I went to the park and I'm still anxious. I went to the do this and I'm still anxious. How much of your attention was engaged in the park? You know, how much of it was engaged at the theater? How much of it was external? And a lot of the time it comes down to, actually, yeah, I was walking through the park, constantly monitoring how I felt, white knuckling, and just hoping that the anxiety would magically disappear because this is my exposure.
Right.
Well, yeah, you did half your exposure. Well done. But the other half is, you know, how many thing, you know, how well can I do to engage in my environment? And I always say to people in here, if you can engage 51%, then you've done it.
Winning, right? And the win, and this is going to like tie into our did it anyway for this week. The winning is in the repetition. Even in any given, and I'm talking about repetition from day to day and week to week, that's true, but even in that one episode. So if you are walking in the park and panic hits you or whatever, you have that OCD thought pops up and you're triggered by it. If you have to continually refocus on the trees and the birds and the friend that you're walking with or your dog, that's the win. It's the refocus and the practice again and again and again.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. That is so important. It's the continual refocusing, the pulling back. Because a lot of people, and again, our friend Craig, what would he say? You go to the park and I've listened to Disordered. What would Craig, the critic, say as soon as we compulsively start checking in again?
Yeah, he would say, it's not working. See? Like, you know, you're doing it wrong. What I hear all the time is like, I tried to pay attention to my dog, but I kept going back to the thoughts. It's okay. Like, that's going to happen.
That's going to happen.
Expect it to happen. Don't see that as failure. There's no like attention switch where you just say dog 100%. It's not going to happen. It takes a long time to get to that. I don't even get to that.
Reminds me of the Stretch Armstrong. Do you remember Stretch Armstrong?
I had that.
Stretch Armstrong. It's like, there's always that kid that managed to stretch him from like around the globe, you know, and I was always jealous of it, but he didn't do it straight away because it was really strong.
Right.
So what you do is a little bit at a time, is you stretch it, let it go, stretch it. It's the same, like in the sense that you're going to get resistance. You're going to get habit that pulls you back.
Yep.
But the win is focusing out again and you're stretching it a little bit more. And next thing you know, you've got this horrendous looking thing that looks horrible and phallic and tentacle like, and it's banned from school. And then their mom doesn't talk to my mom, and it's really heartbreaking because I can't go around for tea anymore.
Yeah.
My brain has gone completely down a weird memory hole. Sorry.
I see that. That's okay. That's twice.
But at least I wasn't focusing on my anxiety.
That's true. But that is the win. So remember that your
amygdala
is just doing what it's supposed to do, right?
Oh, like, seamless.
It's just, well, I got the button. You know, I can't say that any special skill, but that your amygdala, your threat response center in your brain, threat detection system, is just doing what it thinks it's supposed to do. Hey, look at me. Look at this thought. Look at this sensation. Look at this anxiety. This is important. It's going to do that. The win isn't saying, hey, thanks, but I'm going to play with my dog for now while you keep screaming that I'm about to die. Should we
role play?
We could totally role play.
Okay, let's do it. We're in the park. Who wants to be good cop and bad? Should I be bad cop and you be good cop?
I'm going
to
be good cop. I'm never good cop. I'm tired of being bad cop.
Oh, fine. I'll be bad cop. Then you be good cop. We set the scene. You're walking through the park. And you're anxious, you're a bit agoraphobic and stuff, but actually your main focus is that you're struggling to not focus on your feelings because you're scared of it, but you've listened to this podcast, you've given it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify, and you've walked into the park. What's good cop saying? What's compassionate you saying? And I'll be bad cop, a combination of Craig the critic and just the threat response. I'll be the threat response.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Bad cop. So good cop is going to say, this is amazing. Look at you. You're doing this thing that you didn't think you could do. Well done.
Why are you looking at those trees? You had a weird sensation in your chest then.
Yeah, but that's okay. Let the sensation be there, says good cop. It's all right. It's okay.
Yeah, but what if this is anxiety and something else? You sure? Keep an eye on it.
Well, you're never going to be 100% sure, but let's roll the dice and let's see what happens for just a few minutes. You can do that.
You sure it's okay to walk far into this park? You know, your legs feel a bit like jelly.
Well, jelly legs are still good legs. That's what Dr. Week said. So let's test that theory. We're capable.
Why are you staring at trees and squirrels? You know, the attention's here. There's a threat here. You know, that's silly. Why are you even distracting yourself? Look at the threat. What if you have a heart attack or something?
Well, I really appreciate that you're trying to keep me safe. I get it. But I'm just going to be over here and I'm going to try and show you that we are safe. I know you don't get it. Let me show you.
All right, okay, I take that. But why don't you walk in the shade? It's too bright out here. There's too many sounds and colors.
Well, I'm supposed to walk in the bright light where I get triggered. That's the whole point of doing this, is to teach you the lessons you need to learn, brain.
Okay, you're really annoying me now. And just in case that you are dangerous, I'm going to start messing around with your stomach and your bowels. And I'm going to make you sweat. I'm going to make you feel dizzy and lopsided. And guess what? Have some DPDR as well, because I want the attention.
I know you do. You just think you're doing your job, but you're pissing me off now. So I'm going to intentionally keep doing what I'm doing, no matter how loud you yell. I'm tired of you dragging me around.
Oh, this is really annoying. Still need to convince him, and I'm running out of fuel. Okay, well, what if, I tell you what, you've got children at home. There's high stakes here. And if something bad happens and you go crazy and you die, then look what you've done there. You know, you've done something reckless and irresponsible.
Well, that would be terrible if that happened, but all the things you predict never seem to happen. So I'm going to take that chance. How about that?
But isn't that just distraction?
No, it's me deciding to act with intention toward the thing that I want to do instead of paying attention to you.
Oh, now I'm running out of fuel now, so my adrenaline and cortisol is getting really low. I tell you what, I'm going to go and recharge for a later date. I obviously can't win in the park here, and I can't win when you've got DPDR, but I'll find another way to torture you. Just you wait. I'll be back.
I'll be back. And scene.
And see, oh my God, Shakespeare Company just called.
100%. You will find us at the Globe Theater starting next week.
Did that off the cuff as well.
That was pretty good.
What did our studio audience think?
Oh, they loved it, of course. Clearly, the hundreds of people in the studio audience.
Sorry, I was just hit in the eye with a rose.
A rose. The performance was that good. But it's illustrative of the whole distraction thing. Like, you know, no, I'm going to distract while the bad cop here is screaming at me to pay closer attention.
I actually really like, I know that was off the cuff. We didn't even plan to do that, but that we could do a few more of those kind of role play things to demonstrate other examples.
Yeah. So all of those techniques that maybe I was, you know, as the good cop or the wise mind, if you will, was trying to throw into there was, yeah, they could be distraction. I'm going to play with my dog. I'm going to look at the trees. I'm going to pay attention to my walk. I'm going to pay attention to anything but Josh playing the triggered amygdala. Is that distraction? Yeah, technically probably is, but it's a productive distraction because you know, my intent was to learn a lesson and to try and teach my brain a lesson. Wasn't to get away from it. Notice at no point did I say, shut up, please be quiet, brain. Stop, 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 stop. I'm okay. I'm a warrior. I never said any of that.
Mm. I find as well a lot with a lot of anxious people, particularly with disordered anxiety, get stuck with what to do.
Mm.
And we've got to be careful. We talk a lot in the past about technique-ifying.
Yeah.
Be careful that your distraction and your technique don't become the same thing. And so I always hark back to, you know, what would non-anxious me be doing right now? And if I've been so anxious for so long, maybe I've just got to kind of guess what non-anxious me would be doing.
Yep.
And you practice with your focus on that, which is really kind of cool. I did that. I just practice with my attention and to the point where you're fully engaged. And anxiety can't always have your attention as long as you give it 51%.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to go to the movie theater and give this movie 51% of my attention. I'm not going to go and get annoyed with myself and wound up because I can't concentrate. I'm not going to listen to Craig the Critic saying, well, you used to watch movies and now you can't and whatever. No, the intention is set here. I'm going to leave the house where I've been ruminating. Yes, the cinema is a nice, welcome distraction. The movie theater, cinema, wherever you are, on each side of the Atlantic, wherever you are in the world. And I'm going to, with intent, give 51% of my attention to this movie. Will I be fully engaged with it? No.
Nope. No.
But by the end of it, I guarantee you, you'll be more engaged than when you started.
Yeah, you know, just the same way that, and you did a great job of the old, like, I'm running out of fuel. See, they're coming to get him. That's actually police escort to the Globe Theater because you did such a good job as bad cop.
Is that me? Oh, is that me? Sorry. There's
that's okay.
Police everywhere.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Leave it in. It gives it, it's
a realistic thing. You know, it's the look of the mean streets of Manchester. It's all right. What we want. I think, you know, in the end, it's when you see that Josh did such a good job, really, no, truthfully, of doing the, oh, I'm running out of fuel now. Anxiety kept, you know, so at this point, the amygdala is saying, I'm running out of fuel. I'm running out of things to say. That's exactly what it would be. So by the end of that movie, by the end of that film, you'll be exhausting it. You'll be tired from doing it. And you might not always be at 51%. That meter is going to bounce back and forth. But, you know, but generally speaking, try for an average of 51% of attention on something else. That's totally fine.
And the threat response will utilize your thinking brain. It gets desperate. So it will throw all sorts at you for your attention. And it will also use guilt. What's some examples of it using guilt for your attention?
I think you did a great job of trying to leverage guilt. Like, you know, you got kids at home. You really want to take this chance? If this really is something this time, how horrible would that be? That was great, I think.
Yeah. And people, again, the OCD heads.
Yep.
Something like obsessive compulsive disorder. For some reason, the guilt is strong with this one. It's just something that your threat response is using, so it gives you your attention. But the stakes are so high here. What if this is true? What if this intrusive thought is true? What if that horrendous thing does happen?
Yeah.
And I know that ties into a lovely question that we've got, actually, doesn't it?
It does.
What was it again? Oh, you've got it, haven't you? You've got the question.
I have the question. This is the intrusive thought about something bad happening. You want to go over that now?
Let's do it. Let's distract ourselves from the topic of distraction.
You know,
with the question that involves answering it with the topic of distraction. Shut up, Josh. Go on.
Leveraging guilt. Love that. I also, by the way, it'll not only leverage your thinking brain and twist what you say, but it'll just make shit up, like whatever it feels like, which is always impressive, because then that's why you don't want to get into an argument with it. Okay, so let's do, I'm sorry, big loud notification sound. Let's see here. Oh, I know what that means. It means I have 10 minutes to be on a call. Hi, Josh and Drew. You have described intrusive thoughts as those where people think something bad will happen or that they will cause harm to something or someone.
Okay.
I have thoughts that are quite vivid. A daydream almost, where loved ones are hurt. They have been in a fire. I see them in a hospital. I'm giving them CPR. Is this anxiety? Are these intrusive thoughts? Thank you for what you do.
Oh, yeah, they are intrusive thoughts. Remember, thoughts aren't just one kind of image. They can just be in images, or they can be movie reels, and very vivid. And yeah, sometimes because the nature of that, what sounds like, you know, horrendous intrusive thoughts in terms of content, because that's threatening to our livelihood, who we are, because it's important to us. We only get intrusive thoughts about stuff that's important to us. Mm-hmm. You having that attention, your threat response is literally saying, check out this movie and daydream. It's very common to play through the disaster as well. One, so you can analyze future threats and stuff like that, but also as a coping mechanism. Lots of people have these movies in their head, loved ones dying, stuff like that, and they play through this almost fantasy, not fantasy because you want it, but like right. it's a fantastical land where it's like, well, you know, if the worst ever did happen, can I picture myself coping in this?
What would I do?
What would I do? You know, and so people, it's actually a coping mechanism that's quite healthy. You know, when you play these things through in your head, that is anxiety because you didn't like it. It sounds like you didn't like it anyway. You know, you didn't put P.S. best intrusive thought ever.
Right.
Highly recommend it. You know, the murdering family intrusive thought or whatever it is, the graphic death of my family intrusive thought. Highly recommend it. No, it sounds like you really hate it, and that's why you've written in. So yeah, that is anxiety. That is an intrusive thought.
Yeah, I would say the anxiety part of it is the part that maybe it repeats or it seems more important than otherwise. And I'm sure it triggered anxiety for sure. So it's both probably a sign or symptom of persistent anxiety, and it also triggers more. Even the question itself, is this anxiety? Well, as opposed to what? Is it a premonition? Is it a prediction? Is it a wish? No, it's none of those things. It's just a thought. Like,
that's a great question. I've lost my dinner anyway. I'm trying, but you've got one.
I have a dinner anyway. I have a good dinner anyway we could do.
Yay.
Let's see here. Hi there. Kent, not going to say your name. If you send us stuff in at disorder.fm, if you want us to say your name, tell us. Otherwise, we won't do that. So hi there. Here's my did it anyway. I needed to sit in on a town select board hearing via Zoom. I was unprepared for the waves of anxiety that came over me as soon as the meeting began. I started shaking and my fingertips went numb. I also didn't know that I was going to have to participate in the meeting by sharing an experience that I had. In spite of the shaking and the knot in my stomach, I raised my hand and said my piece when I was called upon to do so. I did great. Even better, later that night when I was trying to sleep, my mind kept wanting to go back over everything. Every time I noticed my brain going back there, I noticed it, I labeled it, and I brought my attention back to the present moment. I'm very proud of myself for these wins. It's huge.
What like, a lovely, did anyone, it ties in.
It does.
To the episode. I mean, we've planned this, clearly.
But yeah. No, it does tie in. You know, before when we talked about the win is the repetition and the practice, this is exactly that. You know, it's not like that she lost because her brain was going back to ruminating. No, she recognized it and then went back to, you know, hey, it's okay. I recognize that I'm going to redirect back to the present. That's the win, the practice.
Amazing. Yes. I love that because, yeah, you're using and you broke down what it is you did. You know, I think that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I've got one, did it anyway. It's just a short one.
Yep.
I have a form of contamination OCD. At the weekend, I allowed my friend to buy me a glass of wine whilst I looked out the window because I used to compulsively check, monitor, and insist that the new bottle of wine be opened just in case it was contaminated in some way. And yeah, I bought it and I drank it and I was anxious for a bit, but I let it pass. I love stuff like that because, you know, and usually, you know, contamination OCD, it's going to be quite consuming. You're like, no, I'm leaning into the uncertainty here. Very brave. Well done. Well done.
I would have to add well done. I recognize that. I know what that feels like. I used to have to do that. I'm going to have to open the orange juice and be the first one to drink out of it, even though my brain is screaming that it's probably been poisoned. So I've done that. Really good.
Yeah, you know, obviously, be careful on night out. Don't just, you know, have your drink about it. There are idiots knocking about. But in general, you know, when it's just you and your partner, you know, the person you're with and
trust
and an empty bar and, you know, come on, you're allowed to allow some kind of uncertainty.
Great job. Very well done.
Absolutely love that. It's always a pleasure, Drew. Last time I asked if there was all the people in the UK or European Apple reviews. Yep. We caught up to you by 10. So
no way.
Get some Apple review. Yeah, definitely.
We can't have that US.
Yeah, the US versus the rest of the world and reviews.
As usual. What's new?
Yeah, I think you're on like 100 and something. We're up to 45, I think. So we'll try and get some reviews. If you've got a spare moment, we'd love a review on Spotify or Apple, whatever it is you listen to. Sure. Really appreciate that.
Yeah. You know what? Let's keep it proportional to population. How's that? You're never going to catch us because we just got a lot of people here, which is not a good thing. But
we can crush the Americans.
I like your confidence there. Very good. Yes. So, anyway, guys, thanks for hanging out. Appreciate it. Go write us a review if you can, and leave us a message at disordered.fm, an email or a voice message.
And you did it anyways. Come show you did it anyways. We love listening to those or reading them. And send the questions.
Without a doubt. We'll see you next week. Pre-recorded me is going to tell you all those things again in about 2 seconds. See you later.
See you later.
Hey, it's Drew. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Disordered. Josh and I both hope that you're finding it helpful in some way. For more information about Josh or me or the Disordered podcast, find us on the web at disordered.fm. That's disordered.fm. Pop on over and find links to our social media platforms. Join our mailing list so we can let you know when new podcast episodes are available, and we'll send you easy ways to ask us questions and share your wins so we can answer questions on the air and share your successes with the community. And if you're listening to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any platform that lets you rate or review, do us a favor and leave us a 5-star rating and maybe write a review if you're digging Disordered. It really helps us out and we appreciate that. Thanks again for coming by, and we'll see you in the next episode.